Tammy, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down with me today and talk about the history of the Alder Grove Historical Society. Yourself, how did you get started with an interest in museums and specifically with the Alder Grove Historical Society?
I've always been interested in history. My family roots here go back to 1888. I feel that as I still live here, it's partly my responsibility to make sure that those stories are remembered and that people understand the history of the community and how it was built and how the community members, the pioneers, always worked together for the better of the town. I first became involved with the Heritage Society in the late 90s when they were working on the two history books for Alder Grove, The Place Between. I helped work on those. Then recently, I was invited back by two other former directors to try to get the museum up and running again and cleaned up and organized.
What is the history of the Historical Society?
It was formed in 1989 and became incorporated as a charity. The purpose of it was to tell the story of Alder Grove. Then the chance to save this building that we're sitting in right now came up about, and the building was officially moved here in 1992. It was a 2-year restoration process to completely get it back to how it looks now, and it's a BC Mills prefab. So it was put together in New Westminster at BC Mills and crated up, sent out on the train, and moved it to where it used to sit at 272nd and Fraser. And then it was moved again in 1951 and then moved again when it came here.
And how did the collections develop over those years?
Because we were writing a book, or two books, as it turns out, about Alder Grove, a lot of the pioneer families and families who had moved here right up to about the 70s donated a lot of material and a lot of objects and wrote their family stories and donated photographs, and it was all compiled and edited and put together in the books. And it tells the story not just of the families, but the community as a whole, the service groups, the churches, the businesses, the agriculture, and governance as well, and First Nations.
What would you say are some of the blind spots of the collection?
We need more of the First Nations stories. We recently repatriated some objects that we found in the museum back to the Kwantlen people. We're also needing some more information from early East Indian agricultural pioneers, mm-hmm. and as well as Japanese and Chinese. We're definitely lacking on our ethnic history.
Yeah. And what are some of the strategies that you're thinking about in terms of outreach?
Well, we have a Community Heritage Day coming up in September. With the publicity that we're going to be putting out, we are asking once again for people to contribute stories and photos and, you know, artifacts. We've had a few people, such as Mr. Jackman, who has been a longtime supporter. His grandfather was a pioneer, royal engineer. Mm. And he's downsizing and cleaning out, so he's been bringing in a lot of materials and donating it to the museum. Mm. We also have a scan and release program where people can bring us their photos, we'll scan them and give them back. Mm-hmm. And if they want a digital copy, they're more than welcome, obviously, to have one. Right now, some of the things we're working on is trying to compile a photographic timeline of Fraser Highway. Mm. So that those are the main photos that we're looking for. We also have a lot of family stories that are missing. Families that I know lived here, but we don't have any stories about them. I've managed to find a few descendants of those people and have asked them, could you please submit a family story? And they're working on it. And we're also working on a pioneer family tree showing some of the settling families, like the Jackmans and the Lehmans and the Vanettas and the Shortreeds, how they intermarried, where they went off to and whatnot. One of our pioneer settlers, Robert Shortreed, he was a member of the posse that was searching for Billy Miner. And mind you, he lived in Abbotsford at that time. He had already sold here and opened a business in Abbotsford. Mm. but he was still from Aldergrove.
What are some events, individuals, goings on in the community currently that you're eager to gather some documentation about for the museum?
Every year we gather information from festival days. It's a combined Aldergrove Agricultural Fair, which used to be in September, but now it's in July. It's been combined with Aldergrove Festival Days, so we keep track of that. We save the weekly paper to add to our 70 years worth of collection. Unfortunately, there's a big hole in the 2000s because the papers weren't being collected by anybody. But we've got right back to 1957 onward. We have about 98-99% of the newspapers. One of our ultimate goals is to have a space where researchers can come in and actually make use of the materials that we have in the archives, because we're sitting on a gold mine of Aldergrove and family history that is not accessible as it is right now.
Some recent items that have come in, I see that you have some
yes,
here.
These are from, some of them are from Mr. Jack. I think it's a 1953 Fraser Valley telephone directory. It's not in very good shape, but we will do our best to preserve it as it is, and we will also get digital scans made of it so that people can look at it, because it's too fragile to have people come in and open it.
What would you say are some items in the collection that you feel are really essential to the Aldergrove story?
We have, of course, the register for the Western Home Hotel, which shows people coming and staying in town. And, you know, it makes me wonder, what was that person's story? Why were they passing through here? Because there's people who stayed at the hotel from Chicago. One of the high points that the Heritage Society used to think it had was Mackenzie and Borden's names are in the guest register.
Okay.
So, of course, right away everyone, oh, they stayed here. You know, our prime minister stayed. I did some research, looked through the Hansard volumes. No, both men on that day were in the Parliament buildings debating. So somebody registered at the hotel impersonating them. So then you wonder, well, who else got snafu'd? You know, did they go across the street to the Smith and Parr store and get free stuff by saying that they were the prime minister? You know, these are the kinds of mysteries that you wonder about. We've got, you know, minute books from the women's institutes and their financial records. And during the two world wars, the women's institutes were fundraisers for the Red Cross Society and putting together care packages for our soldiers. The Farmers Institute, which is now the Otter Co-op, has been in business ever since the first days. They played a very important part uniting the farmers and their efforts to get, you know, proper equipment and the best seed and the best food for their animals, as well as grocery stock for the pioneers. Because, yeah, they grew a lot, but there was also things that they couldn't grow. It's interesting to be able to look through the documents and the photos that we do have to see how the town has evolved from, you know, Shortreed's corner store, which was where the McDonald's is at 264th and Fraser. And, you know, it's just a little wooden shack that had the telegraph, the mail. It was a grocery store. It was a feed store. It was a blacksmith shop. You know, eventually other people homesteaded out here who provided more services. You know, there was another blacksmith shop, and I have in my possession, I've borrowed it from another relative because I'm transcribing it, but it's my great-great-uncle William's diary. In it, he talks about getting on the horse and cart and having to go all the way to Fort Langley to do the shopping for a month, you know, making sure that they had the shotgun with them because of the bears and the wildcats. For me personally, some of the most interesting documents that I've come across, not necessarily in the museum, but they will become part of the collection, are vital statistic records that I have found because researching the Pioneer family trees, I knew that my great-great-grandmother was a midwife, but that was just a family story. Well, now, on government documents, there's her name as the person delivering these pioneer babies, mm-hmm. you know, members of the Shortreed family, members of the Vineta families. That's just some of the really cool things that are waiting here for researchers. Mm-hmm. I love telling Alder Grove's story, how it came to be. And I know that some people get fed up because they feel that we're behind the times and you know, we need to modernize. And, well, we are losing the Alder Grove Hotel because it's coming down. Yes, it's in bad shape, but I don't feel that enough proper avenues were pursued on ways that the building could have been repurposed and rejuvenated. Unfortunately, the township owns it, and all but two council members voted to tear it down. Mm. People feel that the whole town needs to be redone. Well, no, it doesn't, because it won't be Alder Grove anymore. Mm. It'll look just like Yale Town and Willoughby and Surrey Central. I think it's very important that we educate people about the history and why that building is there. How did we get the bowling alley? Mm. A lot of people don't know how or why the bowling alley was built. Well, it was built.
Why was it built?
It was built in 1962 by Mr. and Mrs. Jack Scott, who owned the garage that used to be Hamry's, where the music hall was. Jack retired because he wanted to build a bowling alley. There were a lot of avid bowlers in Alder Grove, but they had to drive all the way to Abbotsford in order to participate and to be a part of a league. So Jack sold the garage to my grandfather and my grandmother on my dad's side and proceeded to build the bowling alley. It opened with great fanfare in April of 1962, and immediately the league was full. That was a big part of the local social life. Unfortunately, in September of the same year, Mr. Scott passed away. But he did have his dream. A lot of people don't know that Alder Grove had a theater, and it's up at the other corner. It's a brick and white building. There's a legging store in there right now and some apartments. But that was originally the Alder Grove, well, it was called the Grove Theater. We had a pool hall, which also had a barber, so that it was okay for people to go there because they were actually going to the barber. And we had where our post office is right now used to be a chick hatchery. Our first Remembrance Day ceremony was held at the post office because that was the only federal property in town. We didn't have a legion yet. It came to be shortly after we had a legion. There's just so much history here, and so many things in this town we wouldn't have if it hadn't been for the community. Alder Grove's first swimming pool was in that park over there. It's now filled in, and it's a spray park. But the Agricultural Association and the other service groups all worked together to raise the money to build that pool. The community came together and built the cemetery, which is on the Abbotsford side, but the Aberdeen Cemetery was originally called the Alder Grove Cemetery. Right up, probably until still in the 60s, all the way up to Bradner Road in Abbotsford was RR2 Alder Grove, even though it was part of the Matsqui municipality. That's why I'm looking forward to working with Christina on the Spot app, because West Abbotsford's history and Alder Grove's history is very intertwined.
Yeah.
There was no definition.
Yeah.
Even if you look in the old city of Abbotsford, you know, electoral ads or bylaw ads, everything was signed Lefevre Road, Alder Grove. Well, technically it's Abbotsford.
Mm. Do you find sometimes that the holdings of, say, Abbotsford, there are collections there that are more relating to Alder Grove's history?
Yes.
Is there overlap in that nature?
It overlaps, but by the same token, we have stuff that really should be in Abbotsford. Mm. But first we have to figure out the provenance of the materials and where they came from, which right now is a big challenge.
Are you finding it difficult to find some of this documentation? Are some of
yes.
those families still in Alder Grove, or are you having to go elsewhere?
A lot of the generation or the people who donated the items have passed away.
Okay.
They were elderly when the books were put out. There isn't always family left here. They may not even know that something was donated
So 3 years, 5 years, 10 years out, what are your hopes and your aspirations for the Historical Society?
Well, it's my hope that we become more of a force in the community, that more people will want to become a part of what we're doing and join in the work, because it's fun work. And our first goal right now is the old fire hall. We did get it put on the heritage inventory list, but that's not going to save it. It needs a proper bylaw to have it designated as a heritage building. And then ultimately, we would like to become stewards of that building because it's cinder block. It is a heritage building, and our holdings would be much safer there. Right now, we don't have proper archival storage. We would like to be able to move over there because then we can have workshop space. We would like to hold workshops for kids. We would like to have the First Nations come in and do storytelling, craft demonstrations, and we just don't have the room here to do anything like that. That's another reason why we would like to move over there and become a destination. We do get people from all over the world who do come and visit, mainly for the telephones, but we can't show them what else we have because we have no display space, we have no storage space, and this is the only workspace that we have here in the office. Mm. 5 years from now, I'm hoping that we have a growing collection, a growing membership, and we become a real research library and still participating in our community to educate people and preserve as much as we can.
Well, Tammy, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down with me, and all the best with the Aldergrove Historical Society.
Thank you very much.